Kevin. All right, let's turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Let's begin reading in verse 1. We'll just read 6 verses here. The heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare, they declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth His handiwork, the work of His hands. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there's nothing hid from the heat thereof. Now, when we went through this psalm before, we saw that the glory of God and His works are shown just literally in His creation, so that it leaves men without excuse. That's what Romans tells us. It leaves men without excuse. But in these first 6 verses, there's a whole lot more to this than just looking at His glory in nature. God's natural creation, it declares God's glory and the work of His hands in Christ Jesus, His Son. In this text, that's what we see here. That's what it's used as a picture. It's used as a picture. All things that God made were created for one purpose, to glorify His Son. Everything that's made. Listen to the Scripture. By Him, that is, it was given into Christ's hands to do it. And by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. For Him. To glorify Him. Listen, He's before all things, and by Him all things consist, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Now that's why they're created, that first and foremost, preeminently, that Christ might be glorified. All right, let's see it. First of all, the Holy Spirit here, speaking of the sun rising, shows us a picture of the rising of Christ Jesus from the grave. From the grave. Listen to verse 4. The end of verse 4 says, the Son, verse 5 says, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. The Son is a picture of Christ. Turn over to Malachi 4. It's the last book before Matthew, so you can just find Matthew and look at the book right before it. Malachi chapter 4, look at verse 2. Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. The Son of righteousness is the Lord Jesus Christ who heals his people of our sins. Look at Matthew 17 while you're there. I want you to see the glory of the morning sun. When the sun comes up in the morning, the glory of that sun shows Christ's resurrection glory. You remember the Mount of Transfiguration? He took Peter up there, and when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, they saw his glory. They saw his glory. And look how the glory of Christ is described. Matthew 17:2 says, He was transfigured before them, and His face did shine as the sun, and His raiment was white as the light. So this sun arising is a picture of Christ, the Son of righteousness, arising in His resurrection glory, shining in all His glory. Now, our text says the sun is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. A bridegroom coming out of his chamber. Christ is the bridegroom. He's the bridegroom of his bride. Did you know Christ has a bride? Christ has a bride, and He's the bridegroom of His bride. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." We're one with Christ. We're one with Christ. He says later in that chapter, that's the reason God ordained from the beginning for a man to leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife, because it's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and His bride. That's why. That's exactly why. Now, it says the chamber. It says the bridegroom. The sun, when it rises, is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and it pictures Christ, the bridegroom, rising out of his chamber. The chamber is the room where all the preparations are made before the wedding comes to pass. But now think about this. Aren't we used to, wouldn't we think that the bride would be the one in the chamber? The bride is the one, you know, who she goes in the chamber and the bridegroom don't see her and he waits, you know, and then she comes out of the chamber and the music plays and everybody looks at the bride and she's so beautiful and he just, "Oh, look at my bride." But see, in grace, in God's dealings with His people, the bride in herself is a harlot. She's a harlot. She's polluted. She's defiled. She's a harlot. That's all she is. And so in order for her to be prepared to come out of the chamber in all her beauty, Christ had to come to where we are. And He had to come into the chamber. And He had to make all the preparations Himself. And so Christ, Jesus the Lord, came to where we are. And He's in the chamber. He was in the chamber in this earth representing His bride. And everything Christ was doing was He was giving Himself for His bride. He was cleaning His bride. He was washing His bride. He was perfuming His bride with His ointments. He was robing His bride in the snow-white wedding dress of His righteousness. That's what Christ was doing when He walked this earth, when He was in His chamber upon this earth. And He was doing it that He might present His bride to Himself without spot and without blemish, holy, perfect, righteous. That's what He was doing. And so while Christ was in His chamber, while He walked this earth, this whole earth and everything around Him was darkness the whole time He was here. Remember, He said, "I'm the light. This place is darkness. I'm the light." He's the day star that visited us. He's the light shining in a dark place. The whole time He was in this dark chamber. And when the sun goes down, we watch the sun go down. The sun goes down and the sun is in its chamber. That's the picture is painted here. The sun's in its chamber when it goes down and everything's dark. And so finally at the end, as Christ works these works, He goes to the cross. And on the cross of Calvary, there's where the work is finished. There the Lord Jesus Christ takes the place of His people. He takes the sin of His people. He takes the judgment of His people. He takes the wrath of God for His people. He takes everything His people deserve. Everything His bride deserved. And you know when He was on that cross, you know what happened? The sun refused to shine. It was darkness all around. And at last He cried out, "It's finished," and He retired to His dark chamber in His body in that tomb and went to that chamber. But you know when the new day comes, the sun goes down into His chamber and it's dark. But when the morning comes, a new day comes, and the sun begins to come out of His chamber. And when the sun begins to come out of His chamber, He comes out of that chamber like a bridegroom in all His glory. And 3 days after our Lord Jesus laid down His life, He came out of His chamber. The Son of Righteousness began to arise. And then a little while later, He began to ascend to the Lord in all His resurrection glory, all of His glory. And you know what that is? When that's Him arising out of His chamber. A bridegroom, adorned, glorious, and all just beautiful. You know what that is? That's His bride coming out of the chamber in Him. And that's her coming out in all His glory, in everything he accomplished for her. There she comes out of the chamber. And that's when he went to the Father and he presented himself to the Father in all his glory and all his perfection and all his righteousness and all his holiness. That is him presenting his bride to himself when he presented himself to the Father. He's presenting his bride to himself. Glorious, beautiful, because his glory is our glory. His beauty is our beauty. Everything he did for his bride. And so you know what the Scripture tells us? Wherefore, my brethren, you are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that you should bring forth fruit unto God. Now, we're married to Christ. Now, we can actually have some children because we have a fertile husband and we're his bride. And we can have children and we can bring forth some fruit. I want every believer here to get this. I want you to get this down in your heart and understand this. You wake up in the morning, and I know how this is. You wake up in the morning and you're out the door and you're going to work and you got a thousand troubles running through your head. A thousand cares running through your head. And they're legitimate cares. They're the cares for those you love. They're the cares for those that you're responsible for. They're the cares for those you have influence over. And you have all this troubled heart and over all of this heavy weight that you have upon you. When you head off and you're driving and you're thinking those things and you begin to see that sun peeking up over the horizon, you just remember, the Son of Righteousness has arisen. And when He arose, I arose in Him. And when He arose in all His glory, and there He sits with the Father, there I sit with the Father in all His glory. There I am, risen with Him. And there He is, ever living to make intercession for me. There He is, to come forth as a bridegroom, as a bridegroom. Now, that'll put a stride in your step. That'll make those troubles not seem as big a trouble. The trouble might still be there, but He puts the comfort in the heart. When those rays come forth from that sun and they shine on you, they begin to warm you and they begin to make you comfortable in this cold world. That's what He does through this Word. He begins to shine into your heart and comfort you in your heart. All right, there's the first thing we see. We see Him rising in His glory. Here's the second thing we see. We see what God the Father gave to His Son. Look here in verse 4. It says, in them, see the second part of verse 4 there? It says, in them, he's talking about the heaven and the firmament. He says, in them God the Father hath set, a tabernacle for the Son. He set a tabernacle for the Son. Now, the literal picture is, he stretched out the heavens as a tabernacle, as a curtain, as a tent. And He made a tabernacle for the sun in the sky to dwell in. The house for the sun. But the spiritual picture here, brethren, is when Christ the Lord, the Son of God, finished the work of redemption, God the Father set a tabernacle for the Son of Righteousness, for the Lord Jesus. Turn to Hebrews 8. What is this tabernacle? Turn to Hebrews chapter 8. We have limited understanding, so we're going to have to describe them using two different terms. But this is really just one tabernacle. It's just one tabernacle. Let me show you here. Hebrews 8:1. Of the things which we've spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who set a tabernacle for the Son. He set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. A minister of the sanctuary. That word sanctuary is like the word tabernacle. He's a minister of the sanctuary. But there's something else listed here. And of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. So we got a sanctuary and a tabernacle listed here. What are these? They're really just one tabernacle. Because they're one. this first, this sanctuary, that means a holy place. He's the minister of the holiest of holies. Whenever he finished the work, God the Father raised him to his right hand in the very presence of God. And that's where he sits, on his throne, in the presence of God, with all power, working all things, good, bad, ugly, and otherwise, in this world. He's working them together for the good of his people on purpose, because he purposed it from the foundation of the world. That's what Christ is doing with all power in heaven and earth. And then this word, the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man, that's his people. That's his church. That's every individual believer in particular in whom he dwells. It's his tabernacle. It's his church. In them hath God set a tabernacle for the Son. This is what he promised the Son. When he finished the work, he promised to raise him and he would have his people. And this is the tabernacle in which he dwells. You remember Thursday night I told you about the ark when the Philistines had it and they didn't want it to be in their presence anymore. That ark represents Christ and they wanted to send it to its place. And so they were told, you take these two kine, these two buffalo, and you attach them to a cart. And you put the ark on that cart and you just let them go. And wherever they go, they're going to go to the place of the ark. That's where they're going. And the first place they went straight as an arrow. They went to the place of the ark. They went to his place. They went to Beth Shemesh. That's where they went. And you know what that word means? Beth means house. Shemesh means for the Son. They went to the house that God made for the Son. That's where they went. And so whenever the Lord raised Christ, Christ went to the house made for the Son. Brethren, you know what we are? We're the house of the risen Son. That's what we are. That's what the church of God is. The house of the risen Son. The tabernacle of God. Now, that's how real our union is with Christ. That's how the Scriptures portrays our union with Christ. Colossians 3 says, you're dead. You're seated with God at the right hand of God in Christ the Lord. And yet at the same time it says, of all you that's been born of God, it says Christ dwells in you and you dwell in God. At the same time. We're there with Him and He's here in us at the same time. We're talking eternal spiritual things. We're not talking these little temporary, physical, carnal, weak, dumb things. We're talking about spiritual, heavenly, powerful things here. Things that you can't even get, we can't get our little puny minds around. We're in glory with Him. And yet, He's in us right now. So when we lay off these bodies of death, we're not passing away. We really ought not say that about foe. He passed away. We're not passing away. This earth and everything carnal is passing away. We have eternal life. It's just that simple. So don't miss this. God's giving you a reminder every day of this, believer. When the sun comes up in the morning, God's reminding you. There you sit with God at His right hand. And when you feel that sun on your skin, He's reminding you. And He's dwelling in you. He's dwelling in you. Look at this next thing. Thirdly, we see what Christ is doing now. Here we see what Christ is doing right now. Look at verse 5. Psalm 19:5. He says, as a bridegroom that's come out of his chamber, and he rejoices as a strong man to run a race. In the morning when the sun rises, it comes forth a strong, unstoppable, like a strong, unstoppable man, ready to run a race. And here's its race, here's its course. Verse 6 says, his going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there's nothing hid from the heat thereof. You see the sun come up in the east. It comes up and it makes its circuit. And it goes all the way to the other end of the earth. And it does it every day. Faithful, unstoppable, every day it does it. So it is with our risen King and Savior. Our Lord shines forth. He arose to shine forth in glory, that He might be the salvation and comfort of all His people. He arose that He might shine forth and fill all in all His people, giving us life and faith and all things that pertain to God. That's why He arose. That's His glory. That was given to Him of the Father to do this in this gospel age. Now, Our risen Lord Jesus Christ is the strong man that's rejoicing to run a race. He has something to do, and he's doing it right now in this gospel dispensation, and he rejoices to do it. And we rejoice in him, don't we? You know why? He's the strong man. You think about it. Do you think anybody, there's any man anywhere that could stop the sun from coming up in the morning or stop it from running its course? There's nobody that can do that. He gives the power the sun has to the sun. We're talking about one stronger than the sun in the sky. We're talking about the one the sun in the sky gets its light from. We're talking about Christ. You could sooner stop that sun in the sky from running its circuit than you could stop the Lord Jesus Christ from working his will in this earth. That's just so. That's just true. As he didn't fail when he went to the cross and he set judgment in the earth on the cross, he shall not fail till he has set judgment in the hearts of all his redeemed. He won't fail to do that. Look here. The tabernacle that Christ dwells in, I want you to make sure you understand this. The tabernacle Christ dwells in is his people, his church, in this earth, right now, you and me who are born of him. And just as unstoppable as that morning sun is, Christ right now is running the circuit, his course, in his people, in this earth. And he's using us to speak. And I was trying to think, how could I illustrate this? I was thinking a minute ago. And it's sort of like this for a believer. When you open your mouth to speak the gospel to somebody, it's like a giant ray of sunshine coming out of your mouth, coming from the Son of Righteousness. And all the power and all the strength is his. That tells us, brethren, if he's got a place he's going to have you to preach the gospel, you're going to end up in that place. And nobody's going to stop you from being there. Nobody's going to stop you. And we don't let that hinder us. We're accused of, oh, you people, y'all don't do anything for the cause of Christ because you believe God's sovereign. No, that don't stop us. We don't make us sit on our hands. That gives me the encouragement to go drive to Philadelphia and get on an airplane and fly somewhere and go there, preach the gospel, and get on a plane and come back, get snowed in, have to stay somewhere, and it being all inconvenient. Because I know all along the way, God just opening the door for me to just shine some light the whole way. The whole way. And that's what he's doing. And it's through his light from one end of heaven to the other as he sends his people into all the earth. He's shining his light in every place in this earth just like that sun is shining his light everywhere on this earth. That's what he's doing. Now look, here's what he does. Look at Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60. Here's what he does. Isaiah 60 verse 1. Arise, shine. You know, I read that and I thought, we get everything from the Scriptures. Rise and shine. Where'd that come from? Right here. Right here. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. You remember when they were in Egypt and God made everything to be total darkness in Egypt. And the Egyptians couldn't see. They groped about in the darkness. They could not see for anything. But the children of Israel had light the whole time. They had light. That's what he's saying here. Your light's coming. While they're in darkness, you're going to have light. Now look, what's going to be the result of this? That Christ can work in his people. Verse 3. The Gentiles shall come to thy light. And kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy son shall come from far, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. You see, believers are a new creation. God made a creation in the beginning of the world. Believers are a new creation. God made a heaven, the heavens and the firmament in the beginning of the world. Believers are the new heavens and the new firmament. And you know what God put in the new heavens and the new firmament when he made it? When he made it, the first one, it says God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Believers get all our light from Christ, just like the moon and the stars get all their light from the sun. We get our light from Christ. And Christ is the great light that rules the day. He rules the day. All the time. Every day. He's ruling the day. And His people are the light that He's given to shine in this dark night we call this earth. That's what He's done for His people. And by His light, Christ Himself separates the light from the darkness. He separates them. This is what He does. And His light, His heat, that is the truth of the gospel which we preach. Listen to this psalm in Psalm 43. Send out Thy light and Thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto Thy holy hill and to Thy tabernacles. When you're in darkness, what do you need to walk? You need light. You can't walk in darkness if you don't have some light. Well, Christ is the light of His people. He comes and shines and we have light. And the light that shines, the light that guides us, is His Word. Look here. Notice in the psalm how the text goes from speaking of the heat of the sun's light to speaking of the Word of the Lord. It's showing us here the heat is the Word. Look, verse 6 says, there's nothing hid from the heat thereof. Talking about the sun. There's nothing hid from the heat of the sun, the Lord Jesus Christ. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That heat is the Word. Just like the sun's rays come down and there's nothing hid from the rays of it, there's nothing hid from the Word of God. Nothing. So as Christ dwells in His church, His Word, His light, His heat goes forth through the gospel that He gives us to preach. And what does He do through it? What does He do through it? Well, He's going to make all hear His gospel. Everybody's going to hear His gospel. The heavens and the firmament are a type of His people. And they're a type of the gospel that we preach. And because this is why that's a type of us. What do all God's true people declare? Look at what the Lord says here. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows the works of His hands. And that's what we declare. That's what we declare. That's what we show. The glory of God, the excellency of God, His faithfulness, His mercy, His justice, His judgment, His long-suffering, His goodness. We declare the glory that belongs to God and God alone. And we declare the works of His hands, what He's accomplished in the redemption of a chosen people by His Son. And what He accomplishes in calling us out and separating us out of darkness, and what He accomplishes in keeping us until He brings us home with Him. This is what we declare. And I want to show you something now. We look at 2 Corinthians 4. Here's why we preach this. 2 Corinthians 4. We declare the work of His hands. The only time we talk about works of men is to do this, is to say that your works and my works outside of Christ are vanity and corrupt and don't accomplish anything. Or to tell believers, as you're preaching this gospel, adorn the doctrine of Christ so that men won't be looking at you and charging you, but they'll hear the gospel. That's the only thing we say about the works of men. It's all so Christ can have the glory. But look here. For we preach not ourselves, 2 Corinthians 4:5, but we preach Christ Jesus the Lord. What else you got? Nothing. You know, men will say, well, don't you, when you going to get around to preach something else? I'm not, I hope, if the Lord keeps me. Look, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He sent somebody to us, some vessel of mercy, one of His tabernacles, with the heat of His Word. And as they opened their mouth, a beam of sun came out, and it hit us right in our heart. And you look what He did. He shined light out of darkness. And He shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now He's sending us forth, but we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So, He's sending us forth, and everyone, everywhere, hears the Word of the heavens and the firmament. There's nobody in this world that doesn't hear and see the glory of the sun in the sky and all the stars and the moon and all that. Everybody sees it, and everybody feels the heat of the sun. You're either close to it and you feel the heat of it really heavily, or you're further away from it and you feel the lack of the heat of it. But you feel the result of that sun wherever you are on this planet. And that's true of His Word. Look here. Look at this, verse 3. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Now you mark these words right here. Listen to this. Their line is gone out through all the earth. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. He's talking about the firmament in the heaven. I just showed you that's a picture of believers preaching the gospel. Now turn to Romans 10, and I'm going to show you that's exactly what Paul said it pictured too. You know, say, well, you over-spiritualize the Scripture. No, carnal men carnalize the Scripture. The Scripture is spiritual. The Scripture speaks of Christ, and you got to worship Christ in spirit and truth. And we have some discernment here, and we can see what's all this mean over there. Here's what it means. Their line went out into all the earth, the words to the end of the world. Paul here preaching, telling of the necessity of the gospel, going into all the world by his preachers. In verse 18, he says, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. That's our text. That's what he's preaching from our text. So he's saying that firmament in that heaven, and their words going forth, their glory going forth, like you see in the sky and all the things, that's a picture of God's preachers and his word going forth, and everybody's hearing it. Everybody. All his witnesses are like the sun and the stars and the moon. That's what he calls his preachers, stars in the Scriptures. The stars, they declare in all the earth God's glory in the work of redemption. That's what we declare. And so when you stand out there next time and you're looking up and you're admiring the sun and the stars and the moon, just think on this. God's word won't return to him void. Everybody in this earth has seen that right there. And he's going to make sure everybody in this earth hears his word. And the truth of Christ. He's going to make sure they hear it. He might not save them with it, but they're going to hear it. They're going to hear it. Look here. Verse 6. There's nothing hid from the heat thereof. Men can't hide from the heat of the sun in the sky. And they can't hide from the word of the Lord either. Shortly after that Son of Righteousness arose. Shortly after Christ arose. There were some men trying to hide from the Son of Righteousness. From the heat of the Son of Righteousness, from Christ. You know where they were trying to hide? At Jerusalem, in the middle of religion. They were sitting up there doing all the law and doing these things, and they were trying to hide from God right there. These were men who had just been walking around crucifying Christ with the rest of them. And Christ sent a preacher there. He sent Peter. And Peter stood up and he said, this same Jesus whom you've crucified has been, he's arisen. This is the Son of Righteousness, and he's arisen with healing in his wings, and he's both Lord and Christ. He's working his will in this earth. And as he spoke that, the Son of Righteousness shined through Peter into the hearts of 3,000 men, and they couldn't hide from him. And he saved them. Right there. And then he went on his circuit a little bit further, and just shortly after that, there was another big host of men, and he sent preachers to them, and they preached, and he shined into their hearts, and he healed them too. And then he continued on his circuit as his disciples told him, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And they saw those 3,000 saved and these others saved. And they said, we'll just stay right here. He's doing such a mighty work right here. So he sent persecution to them and scattered them in all the world. And they went forth. And you know what they went forth doing? Listen, they were scattered abroad and they went everywhere preaching the word. You look up there sometimes and you see the sunshine and the clouds are just right. And you see just about every ray of that sun coming out and going through those clouds. When it says they went everywhere preaching the word, that's the picture. Just beams of sunlight going everywhere as they went. And the word is like the rays of the sun. And then Christ continued on his circuit some more. There's like the sun goes on its circuit. And he called the Apostle Paul. You know how he called him? Paul said, I saw a light brighter than the sun. Knocked me off my horse and knocked me in the dirt. I couldn't see a thing until he gave me light to see. And then he sent me forth to the Gentiles to preach this gospel. You know why he sent him forth? Because God said of Christ, it's a like thing that thou should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I'll also give thee for a light to the Gentiles that thou mayest be my salvation to the end of the earth. That's why he sent Paul. And so, brethren, not only that, it continues to this day. The Son of Righteousness continues on his circuit, shining his light through his gospel. because there are some of His redeemed who are yet in darkness. They're yet hiding. They're yet trying to escape the sun. And He's going to find them. And He's going to bring the light to them. And He's going to redeem them. And not only that, the heat of His wrath shall be felt by everybody that opposes Him. The heat of His grace is going to be felt in mercy and grace to His people, but the heat of His wrath is going to be felt by everybody that opposes Him. You know, that sun shines, and it's beautiful, and it heals you. You get out there in it, it comforts you, and it makes you feel so warm and so pleasant. And that same sun will burn the fire out of others. That's the gospel. This gospel will heal some, and it just burns others up. That's what the gospel does. Christ the Lord. That ought to encourage us, though. It ought to make us to where we stand in front of just an out-and-out God-hating rebel or out-and-out God-hating self-righteous man. Either one. It ought to make us confident to just tell them the truth in love, simply, plainly, and clearly. Because God's going to accomplish His purpose. Christ is going to accomplish His purpose. And it's not for us to know the results. Just, He's going to do it in wrath or mercy. Just speak the truth. Just speak the truth. All right, now lastly, let's go and take home a few things with us today. Let's go back over there. Go to Matthew 5. Let's go to Matthew 5. I'll hurry here. Now, this is what the Lord tells all His people. Matthew 5, verse 16. Now, we need some instruction on this because the world has butchered this. Matthew 5, verse 16. He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, He's our light. And He's the, just like the moon's reflecting the light of the sun, Christ is our light. And He says, now, I've lit you on purpose. Let your light shine. And Paul tells us exactly what that means over in Philippians 2. Paul said in Philippians 2:14, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life." Holding forth the word of life. Now that's what it means to let your light shine. You know, okay, you say, you got somebody standing over here. They don't know me. They don't know Christine. And they stand over here by themselves, just talking. And all of a sudden, me and Christine are sitting here, and I say, you know, I think we ought to go this way. And she goes, no, I think we ought to go that way. And I say, I think we really ought to go this way. No, we ought to go this way. And we start arguing and murmuring and disputing with one another. You think we're going to be able to turn around and talk to that person over there about the gospel, and they're going to pay us any attention? No. You want to let your light shine? Don't do anything to make people look at you and go, look at that bumbling idiot. You mean make myself invisible? Can you see light? I mean, we see the effects of it, but you can't see light. It just lights things up. Well, he said, "Do it without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, without rebuke, in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation." Because you're shining as lights of the Lord. And then here's the second thing. Hold forth the light. Hold forth the gospel. Hold forth the word of life. That's what it means. Make yourself invisible so you can just preach the gospel to people. That's what it means. The moon and the stars, they dwell where it's dark. But they're full of light that they get from the sun. And that's how it is with us. We dwell in a dark place and we don't have any light in ourselves. But by Christ shining in our hearts, He says, now you let your light shine. Now, a city set on a hill can't be hidden. That's what he said there. A city set on a hill can't be hidden. If you've got a city and it's dark all the way around it and there's just one city out there, you're going to see that for a long way off. And so he's telling us, brethren, this perverse and crooked, dark generation, they're going to see you. They're going to see you. So don't do anything that would make them blame you and blaspheme the name of our God. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. All right, secondly, think how consistent the light of the sun is. That sun has been shining the same since God said, let there be light. It has not changed ever. It's shed the same light since the day one. Still as full of light as it was then. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And His doctrine has not changed. He never changed His doctrine when He walked this earth, and our doctrine will not change. The light will be the same from the beginning to the end. And so we don't change our doctrine. We don't change our methods. We don't change our ways. We just keep on preaching this word, the same word. Here's the third thing. Remember, all things in God's creation revolve around the sun and the sky. God made it that way. Everything revolves around the sun. And everything in the gospel, everything in the believer's life revolves around the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything does. What would happen? Just think of this. What would happen if the sun stopped shining? We'd all die. Every one of us. And everything that lives would die. Believer, in every decision, from the least to the greatest, in everything you have to decide on, where you're going to live, where you're going to go to school, where you're going to eat, where you're going to drink, where you're going to hang out, everything, where you're going to worship, everything. Remember this, Christ is everything. Christ is all. And you'd sooner do without the sun and the sky than you can do without Christ and His Word. We'll die if we don't have it. We'll die. We'll die. The sun's the only light. It's the only life. It's the only fruitfulness. And that's Christ. That's Christ. And you think about this too. That sun, it's giving life and it's nourishing the tenderest, smallest little herb in the ground. And I was out there in California this year and I went to see those redwoods. And man, there's these 350 feet tall, big old giant trees. And the same sun's nourishing them too. They need it. They need that sun just like that little tender herb does. And that's how we all are. You never outgrow the source of life. From the least to the greatest, we need the sun. Christ the Lord. And then here's the last thing. Here's the last thing. Here's another thing. The sun's the magnet. The sun's the magnet. The sun is the point from which our compass gives us direction and gives us our bearings. The sun. And that's Christ. Christ is the one that gives us our bearings. Christ is the one that gives us our direction. Christ is. If you're out in the woods, you're out in a forest somewhere, the wise man is always doing this. You might not notice he's doing it, but he's always doing this. He's always either checking his compass or he's watching that sun so he knows what direction he's going in. Because if you don't, you're going to end up lost. Christ is the sun by whom we're always knowing our bearing and always knowing our direction. And if you don't have Christ in your life, if He's not leading you and guiding you and not the anchor point that's turning you every way by which you walk and do everything in this world, you're just like a man out in the middle of the woods on a dark, cloudy day, just aimlessly wandering about and don't have a clue where he's going. That's true. You got no bearing. You got no anchor. You got no compass. You're just wandering. Wandering lost. Well, here's the next thing. Now, this is the last thing. Turn over to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. You know, when the sun comes up in the morning, it's going to run its circuit. But you know what's going to happen at the end of the day? The sun's going to return to the earth. You watch it. It comes up out of its chamber, goes, and by the end of the day, it goes back in its chamber, comes back down to earth. Christ is arisen, and He's gone to glory, and He's working this in His people. And when He's called out the last of His people, shined the light into their hearts, and given them life, He's coming back. He's coming back to the earth. He's coming back here, and this is what's going to happen. Matthew 13:40. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then shall the righteous, those made righteous by Him, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Now let me tell you something. All these folks walking around, religious folks right now, walk around this earth and talking about, I'm going to let my little light shine and look at me and how I'm shining for Jesus and all this stuff. They're not shining. And they're not going to shine in that day either. But all His people that are walking around invisible, humble, contrite, broken, because they want the glory to be on Christ and they want Christ to be seen, they want Christ to be glorified. In the day of visitation, when Christ comes, you know what's going to happen then? Then His people are going to shine as the sun. Then He's going to lift them in His glory with Him, and He's going to say, "These are my people. These are my people. They gave me the glory." That's right. That's what's going to happen. You remember Moses come down from that mountain? He was up there with the Lord and getting the law, and he come back. He was with Christ. Anytime God's dealing with a man, it's the mediator dealing with that man. And that's who he got the law from, was from Christ. And he come down off that mountain, and his face was shining so much they had to put a veil over him because folks couldn't look on him. Listen to this. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him." And here's why. "For we shall see Him as He is." You can't look into the sun. If you look into the sun now, it just blinds you. But when we're conformed, we look into Him, we're going to be made like Him, to shine like Him, to be in His image, to be like Him. Brother Bob Ponser, he didn't pass away. All the things that was bothering him, this old broke down body he had, and all this perverse and crooked generation that he lived in, and all this world that's perishing and will be gone in just a little while, yesterday all that passed away from him. And he closed his eyes in that wrecked body, and he opened his eyes, and he opened his eyes to behold Christ. Would you try to think on that? Seeing Christ. And you know what that look does? It's a transforming look. I mean, when we see Him now by faith, and we're renewed in the inner man by the Spirit of God, just looking through a glass darkly. But when you see Him without any impediment, when you see Him not by faith but by sight, and you see Him face to face, transforms you inside and out. Makes you like Him. That's some kind of shining. You know it? That's some kind of light. And there He is now. He don't have that broke body. He don't have all this perverse nation. He don't have sin. He closed His eyes with everything that was just so unsatisfying to Him and opened His eyes fully satisfied. And He'll be satisfied for all eternity. It won't diminish. You ever had a satisfaction in this earth that didn't diminish, and usually right quick? Just being with Christ, never a diminishing of that satisfaction. There'll be everything there. Will be righteous, and everything there will be holy. And you know what else about that? In that new creation, there's only going to be one light. There's not going to, listen to this, Revelation 21:23, "The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." There won't be no moon there, because we won't be reflecting light then. We will be light. We'll be light with Him, like Him, and He'll be the light. Won't that be something? Everything you see right now, poor sinner, going through this life, got your blinders on, dark, dead, don't know nothing, walking through the world like a lost man out in the woods, just walking in circles. No compass, no direction, no nothing. And all around you, you can't even see this, there's just the glory of Christ shining forth. And believer, you see it. By His grace, you see it. And rejoice. I pray. I really, 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 I pray for you. I pray God will make you see. Make you see. Give you life. Make you delight in this gospel. Because you know what? Everybody else is passing away. But us who conform to Him, we're going to be with Him forever. And that's the reality. That's the real heaven and the real earth. This one right here, just a little while longer. The day's almost over. The day's almost over. Amen.